Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars, and we have an awesome guest today. We've got Clay Alexander, founder and CEO of Ember, creators of this, keeping my tea warm.
Yeah.
So excited about your company and your product.
Awesome.
Why don't you start by telling our viewers and listeners what Ember is?
So Ember is the world's first temperature-controlled coffee mug. So basically, you pour your coffee or tea in, and it will cool your coffee down to your set point and then hold it there for hours on end. So basically, we've just reinvented the coffee drinking experience.
So cool. So this is the first product within a line. There's going to be many other products like it, correct?
That's right. We have a whole pipeline of stuff that we're working on. Beyond coffee, when we start to get into 2018 and beyond, we have self-heated dinner plates where you will eat your meals on a dinner plate that will keep your food at the perfect temperature from the first bite to the last bite.
Very innovative stuff, but let's go back to what we have right here.
Yes, this is the coffee
self-heating
mug.
Coffee, and as a coffee snob, I can tell you this is genius. I love it.
That's
you
awesome.
Already know that because I'm sure you know lots of people who wanted this.
Yes.
But so cool. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've spent $5 for a coffee and it hasn't been the right temperature, and then you're kind of mad about spending that $5.
Right.
And so, just tell me where the inspiration came from.
Well, the whole thing started back with the plate where my eggs got cold on my plate in 2009. I had just sold my light bulb to GE in 2009, and I had come off of about 3 years of solving thermal science challenges. And so I had thermal science on my mind, and I'm eating scrambled eggs, and I'm sitting there in my kitchen, and I'm talking to my wife, and I get about halfway through my scrambled eggs, and they get cold on my plate. And I'm like, looking down at my plate, and I'm like, okay, this is the 21st century. My eggs shouldn't be getting cold on my plate. The plates haven't changed since the caveman days, right? I mean, basically, plates now are just a slab of ceramic. So it's like there's nothing. So I thought, okay, at bare minimum, my plate should at least be able to, like, keep my food at the perfect temperature. So as an inventor from birth, I was like, I got to do something about this. And so I started strapping batteries and temperature control technology to the bottom of my dinner plates in my kitchen and making these prototypes.
Hilarious.
And then I would like put like a fillet of salmon on there, and I would eat it, and all the way to the last bite there'd be like steam piping out of the salmon. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm really onto something here. And so I was looking around the kitchen, and I'm thinking coffee mugs, soup bowls, baby bottles for heating the milk up, chafing dishes. I mean, my mind started racing.
Anything you consume that's warm.
Literally anything.
And cold.
Exactly. We have cooling technology as well. So I started filing patents in 2009, 2010 and doing my own R&D. And I self-funded the company for the first 5 years using profits from my previous businesses. So I self-funded, and we filed patents all over the world to protect the technology. But we decided to go to market with the coffee mug first because it's such a pain point that I think anyone can understand.
For sure. Okay, so I like a really key mention that you made, and that's you need to file a patent. Once you have these great ideas, if you want to be an inventor, if you are an inventor, you have these brilliant ideas, you probably need to check first that nobody else has the patent.
That's step A.
Yeah.
And if you're good, then you want to file because you have to be protected. We live in this world with these giant monster corporations. And for us to for a young inventor to go out and create something, you want to make sure you have some protection. So you really got to get a patent on file before you start getting serious about your invention.
Okay. And I heard you mention that you've been an inventor since you were a child. So tell me about the beginning of your inventing
days. So when all of my friends were out playing sports, I was in my inventor shed, like in the dark with a clip light and a soldering iron, like literally building inventions. And like I would take apart, my mom would buy me a toy, an electronic toy. I'd play with it for a day, and then I'd take it apart into a million pieces, rebuild it into something else. Like I made my RC hovercraft turn into a door opener and closer for my bedroom. Like just constantly rebuilding things. And so that's kind of like my childhood, which
is
like
the silliest creation that you made as a child. Or maybe most genius.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the first thing I made was this like pen. I was like probably like 4 or 5 years old, and I took a bunch of yarn and I wrapped it around 4 pens that all had different color inks. And then I had all these little mechanisms on it, and it was like, oh wow, I can tilt it. And then I used to be a big baseball fan, so I made this hat. This is the answer to your question.
Okay.
The silliest. I made this hat.
It.
I had to think about it. I made this hat. I have a picture of it that you would die. It's like this baseball hat, and it has all these electronics and batteries wrapped all the way around it. I had a megaphone on it that I could talk through. I had, soda holders. I had a fan that was mounted right here that would blow air on my face.
Oh my gosh.
Batteries and solar panels and lights. And it was all...
If only it were fashionable, because it certainly was functional.
It was like 20 pounds. And I would go to the baseball, like San Diego Stadium, and wear this hat and tackle the players and stuff.
Oh, funny. So I think a lot of our entrepreneurs had signs of being entrepreneurs as they were kids, but then sometimes that's kind of squelched within you when you're a kid and it's not nurtured. So what were some of the experiences that you nurtured that part of yourself and decided, hey, I'm actually going to make this my profession? Or was there a time when you decided that, hey, I'm really going to go for this and make this my profession to be an inventor?
Actually, I started as an entrepreneur. I had this like gap in my life where I put my inventor hat aside, mm-hmm. and then it came back. Okay, so the gap was when I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I started my first business, my lighting design business, when I was 22 years old, and I started getting jobs at Universal Studios and doing lighting for the theme park and for some of their bigger live events. And I built that business bootstrap style from ground up. I had no outside capital. I would like collect the deposit for the job. I'd use the deposit to like pay for the guys and the trucks and the gear to get in and do the job. And then I would like, and I just grew that company out of nothing. That business is still around today. It's 19 years old. I own it 100% outright. And I have a president that operates the business. We've got about 60 employees. It's like the American dream. It just self-operates from my perspective. I mean, there's a lot of, it's a very complex business. But I did that for a while. And then we were working for Mattel, and we were doing lighting in New York for Mattel. And they wanted us to light this showroom. And we needed to have like 1,000 track lights in the showroom. And the heat load from the track lights and the electricity load would have been too much for the building to handle because it was in a historic high-rise building. And so I was like, oh, man, I need to make an LED. I'm kind of skipping some parts of my story. But I created the world's first LED track light. And that was in 2006.
Because of that need and
exactly.
that moment. Exactly.
Yeah. Because Mattel said, hey, Mattel hired my lighting design firm to do worldwide research to find out, is there a such thing as LED track lights? And they didn't exist. And here I am sitting there as an entrepreneur going, wait a minute, I've got a Fortune 500 company that has a need. It does not exist anywhere in the world. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, let me do something about it. So
yeah.
I started like hiring engineers.
Got my first client.
Yeah, no, seriously. So I started hiring engineers and I just like jumped all over it. One of my best skill sets is that I'm a team builder. So if I learn a weakness that I have, I'll go and hire the best person in the world to fill that weakness, right? And so that's how I like to build businesses. But I put this team together and I made this track light and we launched it to the world and it just got huge press. And it was like, that was kind of like my first. So that's how I got back in inventing.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay.
Tell
me what happened with that invention.
Okay. The track light business, I ran that business and grew it for 10 years. And it was called Journée Lighting. And that became one of the most reputable track light brands in the lighting industry. And I sold that company a year and a half ago to a company called EcoSense, which is backed by Bain Capital. So I sold that about a year and a half ago. I wanted to kind of streamline my life so I could focus on Ember. Ember, I'm building the next big consumer brand right now, and it's a big like task. And I thought, you know what, let me stay focused on Ember. So I sold my lighting business. I still have my lighting design company, which I will own indefinitely till I go to the grave. I just love that business. And it doesn't take a lot of my time. So, but whereas the light fixture company was very, took a lot of my time.
What do you love the most about Ember and being the founder of it?
I love that I can wake up in the morning with a new, fresh idea. And I have literally a world-class team in place. I have guys from Nokia and Apple and Google and all over the place that have come to work for Ember, and we have this world-class team. And so if I come up with an idea, I go in and I talk to my team about it, and we can make anything. I can make an airplane tomorrow morning if I decided to make an airplane. Like, that's the team. I have such an incredible team. So we are staying very laser focused on this concept of embedding temperature control in dishware and drinkware.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about funding, how you raised funds, how you're spending your money, all of that. So much more when we come back. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
This is Business Rockstars. Rockstars.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars, and we are continuing our conversation with a major rock star, Clay Alexander, founder and CEO of Ember. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to brag a little bit because you guys have had a ton of success and recent success. So tell me about where you're being distributed and where you're at today.
Okay, so we launched on November 21st with Starbucks, and I was just so proud to have, like, landed that partner as a retailer.
I mean, like, huge. Starbucks, especially in the coffee space. Yeah.
Exactly. And we worked really hard to kind of get the right intros and get in there and get them to. And by the way, the thing that I love about Starbucks is they don't mess around. Like, if there's a product in that store, it has gone through the most rigorous of testing. You don't even know. I mean, the QA, and then they inspect our factory. And I mean, it was awesome, actually. And so.
And quite the honor after that. Yeah.
That we passed. We passed
totally.
Everything. And so that makes you feel good as a maker of goods and that you, like, passed the Starbucks brand bar as well. So we felt that we have had, from the beginning, even before we signed with Starbucks, that we had a really good brand alignment with them. And you can kind of think of this, you can look at the way our products are designed, the way they function, and our brand. And there's really a nice alignment between the two brands. We're taking the high road, right? We go for the premium kind of experience, right?
Right.
And so we landed that partnership. We launched in 100 of their top stores in the country. We hit a lot of the more kind of urban areas, like there's 21 in Manhattan alone, 21 Starbucks stores that carry Ember in Manhattan, some like 14 in San Francisco. Like, we kind of went around to the major cities, and we just crushed it. I mean, we didn't know, and Starbucks didn't know, in terms of how well the product would do on the shelves, because it's a brand new disruptive product. There's never been a temperature controlled coffee mug before. Right. So we were all trying to forecast. We had our own forecast. They had their forecast. And so we loaded the stores with inventory and we just sold out within like a week and a half. Boom. All across the whole country. Boom. And so it was just I'll be honest.
Is that your main distribution right now?
Starbucks and online. Embertech.com is the other way.
Right.
But now we're on Amazon. And we're also in talks with Best Buy. So we have a lot of expansion
and
happening.
And I'm sure that's just going to expand more and more on your distribution.
Bingo.
Is that one of your goals right now?
That's what I'm working real hard on right now, is our retail expansion. Yeah.
That's amazing that it sold out so quickly. I would imagine, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, that one of the challenges with being a disruptor and coming out with a new product is that brand recognition, having people know what it is and
that's
how
right.
it works. And they want it, but knowing that they want it.
That's right. Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Okay, so there's a lot of layers, right? So the first thing is you think about the customer that comes in the door and has never seen Ember before, and they're like, what is this thing on the shelf? And we have a really beautiful display in all the Starbucks stores where the mug actually sits bolted to a backdrop, and the screen is on, and it's actually going through its motions, and you can come up and you can rotate the dial and change the temperature literally in the store. And it says on the display, Ember, like, control your temperature, taste the difference. And we worked really hard on that tagline because we're like, how
so
do we...
the messaging that you really need to be clear, that allowing clear. The customers to interact with
it
so they know.
We knew that if we could get people touching, I mean, you just feel the finish.
Yeah.
And you know?
It's just so quality. Just so
exactly.
quality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so if we weren't able to put this out on display, I don't think our sales would have been that as good, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to get your product
for sure.
out there.
Well, speaking of, let's put our hands on it a little bit. Show me how it works.
So basically, you pour in your coffee or tea, and then basically it'll wake itself up. It's automatic. This one's empty, obviously. It says empty.
Mine's full. I've been enjoying my heated at 130 degrees beverage.
Yeah, that's good. I prefer 133 degrees, so everyone has their own. And that's the fun thing about Ember is that you can go around and ask Ember customer, what's your favorite temperature? And they'll say, 138 or 128, and they know it. Like, boom.
Oh, funny.
And
yeah,
because
so you test it out to see what's just right.
Exactly. Yeah, so all you have to do is rotate the dial on the bottom. It's basically, think of it as like almost like a Nest thermostat but for your coffee. And you just spin the dial, and you can set whatever drinking temperature you want.
And you probably realize just how much you love this product once you then go back for, you know, one or two coffees when you're like, oh, this isn't at my perfect temperature.
That's exactly right. And we always say it's like you can't go back, right? Like once you've had experienced Ember, you can't go back. Like I guarantee you tomorrow you'll wake up and you drink, if you don't have your Ember and you drink it out of a regular coffee mug, and it'll get lukewarm and then cold, and you're like, it just, you know.
I love it. So then you also have an app to go with it.
Yeah,
so
we have
an app.
Tell
me about the development of that. Where did the idea come from? All of that.
Yeah, so I wanted, so it's for notifications and also for presets. So we'll start with notifications. So when you pour in coffee or tea, and let's say it takes a few minutes to get down to your temperature, once it hits your temperature, you'll get a notification on your phone, your iPhone or your Android device. It'll vibrate in your pocket and it'll say you've reached your perfect coffee drinking temperature.
Oh,
and if you have an Apple Watch, it literally will vibrate on your wrist and tell you you've reached the perfect drinking temperature.
I love it.
And you can change your coffee drinking temperature from your Apple Watch as well.
Oh, wow. That's so neat. So what was it like developing that? Was that the easy part?
It was super fun because I thought, boy, wouldn't it be cool if you could change your coffee from your Apple Watch? Like, you don't need that in life, but it's really super fun.
It's a fun little,
To show it. So the first thing is notifications because you want to know when you're... And the other thing is when the battery life gets low, it'll say time for a recharge. And it'll give you a ping.
That's key.
So we want to remind people to make sure to charge it. So this is the charging poster.
And that's how you charge it, just like that.
That's it. It would be charged. There's a little cord that comes out and plugs in.
So you just leave it overnight.
Yeah. It only needs an hour and a half.
So how often do you have to charge it?
Well, I mean, what happens is when you develop a consumer product like this, you want people to get into a habit, right? And so we designed the battery life to basically take you through your average day. So we have enough power in there to give you two coffee drinking cycles that are 1 hour long. And then the battery will go dead after that. So the idea is you come home, you have a ritual. This is what I do. I just like put the bottle brush in, scrub it, and then it can be wet and everything. And you just set it down on the coaster. And you just go to bed.
Oh, that's
so. And so when you come up in the morning, it's fully charged and ready for your day.
Awesome. So you've had some great partners and really big name advisors.
Yeah.
How did you get some of these people on board?
Woo. So I like to consider myself a master networker.
Oh, that's good for an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Honest to goodness, that is probably one of the most important things of being an entrepreneur is being able to just share your ideas with everyone. And when there's someone that's in your life, it's an uncle's cousin's brother that is a CEO at a big company or something, get to that person.
So we have one more minute. So I want to know, what is just that last piece of advice that you want to leave with our entrepreneurs and aspiring inventors?
Every day I wake up excited. And I'm like, I can't wait to go to the office today.
You can tell that you love talking about this product.
Like, I mean, this is my baby. I gave birth to this baby. I also have a beautiful daughter, too, like a human baby.
Yeah.
But like I feel like I think the biggest mistake people can make is they go, okay, I want to make a lot of money. And if you put that first, that's bad. You got to go, I want to change the world in a certain way. I want to change the way people eat and drink. And that's why I created this, right? And so if you start with that, like, what do you want to do and what do you want to change? And then you start, the pieces of the puzzle start coming together and it just starts snowballing. And if you can talk about your vision and how you want to do something big and you're passionate about it, like, boom, it all just happens. Like, it just snowballs.
Love your passion. Love your product. Can't wait to use this. So genius. Thank you so much for stopping by. Cheers to Ember. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
If you are considering buying an annuity, I have some urgent news for you. Don't even think about buying an annuity until you review our free annuity comparison report. This free report compares over 1,400 annuities from America's largest annuity database. Do you need retirement income? The report shows over 100 income annuities and highlights the safest companies that provide the most guaranteed retirement income. Looking for the highest guaranteed returns? The report reveals the annuities that have the highest rates and lowest fees. You'll also discover which annuities offer the highest potential returns with no market risk. Grab a pen right now to receive your free annuity comparison report. To receive your free no-obligation annuity comparison report, simply call 1-800-920-5760.
With 20% back in rewards on color copies from Staples, you can run your business with confidence. The confidence to leave behind presentations that customers will read, not recycle. The confidence to produce color manuals that'll keep your business in the black. The confidence that your financial forecast will no longer be partly cloudy. Show off your business in full color for less at Staples. Now get 20% back in rewards on color presentations, manuals, and copies. Staples, it's pro time. Visit staples.com/20color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusions apply.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's Biz TV on your time.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold.
Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and my guest today is Bill Conley, the author of The Success Disconnect. What's the book about?
The book is basically helping the average person create a blueprint for their own success.
Awesome. And so I read your book, and I walk away with what?
You walk away with a mountain of storytelling, basically, of people who have achieved success. Maybe they started down one path, and they found themselves in another path. in unique ways, not the traditional stories of fame and fortune.
And so you come from a background with some psychology background, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So when it comes down to the difference between somebody achieving success and somebody not achieving success, I personally think you can rationalize all day that, oh, well, they didn't do the right thing at the right time in the right order, which could be true. They followed the wrong recipe, or they did something at the wrong time or in the wrong order. I agree with all of that. But at the end of the day, if you give 100 people the exact same blueprint or formula or recipe, why is every single person with the exact same recipe going to produce a different result?
I think if
the
you
mindset.
Had to, yeah, I think it's the mindset. And I think to take it a step further, if you had to really boil it down to one element, it's resilience. So, you know, whether you're somebody who's born into a difficult situation and you're trying to get out of that and make a life for yourself, or whether you're an entrepreneur who is trying to build a business that where you can hire tens of thousands of people, right, and really inspire something, the element of resilience is the same, is
so
being able to bounce back.
Give me a contextual example of that you've done in your life where you've been resilient, and as a result, you were to achieve either more happiness, better quality of life, better health, better relationships, more success.
Yeah, I think, you know, the example I use is the one I use, the genesis of my book is about overcoming personal adversity. And I've had a lot of anxiety, I have a lot of clinical anxiety. I've had a nervous breakdown. I had to restructure the things in my life because I was doing too much and none of it was really that important to my you know, real value set.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of restructure that and look through a lens of what was important and find meaning in that way.
I think most people in life that I speak with, if you ask them, they look at you kind of crazy. What's your purpose in life? Most people, unfortunately, haven't given themselves the gift of figuring out their purpose in life. And I think personally, the foundation of everybody's purpose should be built on the pillars of growth and contribution. Growth meaning becoming your best self possible, and contribution serving and using your gifts to give back to the world and hopefully finding a purpose to serve that's greater than yourself. And so for you, what's your advice to somebody out there? Let's say, you know, Sean is listening with us right now and Sean doesn't know his purpose. How does he find his purpose?
Well, first of all, hi, Sean. The second thing I would say is, you know, Sean or anyone else that's listening or any person, the one thing I say to them is just listen to yourself. You know, I think that people get really stuck in this idea of having to find something, whether it's purpose, whether it's success, whether it's the right job or the right relationship or whatever it is. And again, you kind of hear this, it sounds a little cliche, but you have to just let yourself give those signals to you. Of what is right, what isn't right, and really lean in, drive towards those things that you really find value in. And it could be something very simple. It could be a habit you have. It could be something you do recreationally. And again, there's also something I tell the people is if you do have a job, a 9-to-5, and you don't see the most purpose in that, then find something that you do have purpose in on the weekends and the nights and really invest time in doing that as a hobby or as a side gig that you could potentially turn into something permanent down the line. That's okay too.
I love that. And I think something that also is an under talked about discussion is how core values influence our decisions over almost anything. And what I mean by that is most people have not consciously sat down and chose their core values. At the essence of it, somebody would say, what are your values? And they might say, you know, God, health, and family. Like, true, very powerful and very important things, but kind of cliche. And what I mean by the values is what type of personal traits do you value? Do you value contribution? Do you value integrity? Do you value growth? Those are the types of things. Do you value vulnerability? Those things. So where in your life have you noticed that as soon as you started to understand and define your core values and live by them, that you started to get success in a whole nother direction?
Well, I think a great example of that is when I just started being very open and vocal about mental health and about you know, not being my perfect self all of the time. I found so much meaning in that with people coming out to me who were A, really struggling or had gone through a period where they had not been their best selves and just confiding in me, hey, it meant a lot that you wrote about this or published this article about this or spoke about this topic. And it's not something people talk about that openly. And that was really where I was like, okay, there's something here. This is a bigger issue that I can kind of, you know, really drive forward and really take ownership of in a meaningful way. And it really just opened up the possibilities of things that I could work on and people that I could work with. And I've had so many incredible conversations with entrepreneurs and people outside of the business industry since then that have inspired me to do more and add things to that to that through that lens.
What's something that you're really excited about right now in your business?
Something I'm really excited about right now is working with all sorts of great partners and working with lots of great people to help develop organizations. I'll give you an example. There's an organization I write about in my book called Imperative, and they do a lot of research about the future of work. And one of the things that they've found is that there are purpose-oriented people that sit at either the bottom of organizations or the top of organizations, and they're the highest performers or the lowest performers, depending on if they are satisfied with the way that the organizations are structured. So one of the things I'm really excited about working in is working with businesses to help them redefine the way that they're motivating and cultivating talent so that they can achieve those results. It's not just a 3% raise every year. It's not just a promotion every couple of years. People value giving back. They value contribution to society. And we're learning that with millennials and with young people. So I'm excited about working with leadership and entrepreneurs to help cultivate those teams.
Well, I love the fact also on top of the things you're doing in the business world, you also have, being a comedian is one of the things. So I want to talk about that in a second with you. Bill Connelly is my guest. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Bill Connelly is the author of The Success Disconnect, a book that's basically a blueprint and a formula for you to achieve personal professional success in your life. Is that accurate?
That's right. Yep.
So part-time comedian on the side of doing, speaking, being an author, and being a business coach. So tell me, what's one of the examples or what's one of the exercises that you guys use when you go into these businesses? You told me earlier that you have some that helps people be more creative. Tell me about that.
Yes. I mean, one of the basic tenets of improvisation is the idea of yes and, right? If you've ever seen an improv show, it's made up on the spot. That's the difference between that and stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is pre-written, pre-rehearsed. So when you go into a show, people are making it up on the spot. And the basic tenet is this idea of yes and, which is to say, if you and I were doing an improv scene.
Yeah, we'll do it right now.
All right, well, come on. And you said to me, hi, grandma.
Okay.
Say hi.
I say hi, grandma.
If I said, I'm now your grandma, that's the reality
of
the scene.
I have to
be your grandma. If I said, I'm not your grandma, I'm an alien, then everyone watching, as they're probably doing right now, would be like, what is going on right now? Mm. This doesn't make any sense.
But if I say, I say hi, grandma.
And I say, hello, Mark, how are you? That's a bad grandma impression. But okay, great. I don't know how that sounds.
And then we play off of that and I say, is the pie ready?
Yeah.
And then I would keep going off it.
Exactly. Okay. And then when the reality is set like that, people relax. They're like, okay, yes,
there's no
this
mistakes.
Makes sense.
As long as you go with the flow.
So in the business context, we hear a lot of no, right? Mm. It's here's an idea. Well, that's a stupid idea, so we're not going to do it. Or no, we don't have enough resources. Or no, we don't have enough time. So one of the things we teach is say yes to things and then figure out what they could mean later. Figure out how you would get them done later. Or say yes, then realize it really isn't the best idea, but maybe it leads you down another path towards a different creative solution.
When did you figure out that was, I guess we'll call it a tool and a resource that you were going to capitalize on to become profitable in the business world? Because most people that I hear, they don't have the diversity that you have. You do so many different things. And I love that one of the tools in your arsenal is going in and leveraging comedy and improv to be able to tap into people. So when did you go, hey, you know what? This comedy thing is something I'm actually going to integrate into one of my business tools.
Well, it started very early on. When I started, I was working in marketing. I was doing improv classes on the side and started performing more heavily. And then realized there was just a natural progression. When I was at networking events, I could go up to people more easily because I had bombed on stage so many times that I didn't care about falling flat.
You bomb in front of an audience, it doesn't matter in front of one person.
Exactly. It doesn't matter in front of a professional, at a networking event. And so I started to realize, okay, there's some crossover here. But the real, I think, aha moment, so to speak, came when I started doing some more research about it. And I realized that I was not the first person to make this connection. My first book, it's called Funny Business, was basically about all of these people who had gone from the business context into the comedy world or vice versa. And I found over 50 people that I interviewed who had done this prior to me. So that was really when I was like, okay, this isn't just my idea. There's something really here, tangible, that could be exercised in a business context.
Did you used to, like me, hate going on stage? Because I used to be like petrified.
So for me, I never really had a fear of being in front of people on a stage. Where I really started to, I think, really love it as opposed to just tolerate it was, again, after starting to perform and seeing what the worst could be. Because before I started doing improv, I did stand-up comedy, and I was terrible at it. And so I would go up on stage, and I would say 5 minutes of jokes, and nobody would laugh once.
But I admire you for even doing that, because it's not easy.
It's not easy, especially when they don't laugh. But when you get off stage, you realize, okay, that's the worst that could happen.
It's like getting a shot in your arm with the doctor. You make it so much worse. For me personally, I'm talking for myself.
I'm the same way. I can't look at the shot.
I can't look at it. But it's nothing. When they're done, you're like, that was it?
Right.
Do it again.
I mean, I would never tell them to do it again, but no, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Same idea. It's the apprehension is the worst part. Mm. And once I found
what
that
you tell
out,
yourself in your head is the worst part. The act is not bad at all.
Exactly. And once I figured that out, it carried through to everything. Again, going up to people and networking, talking to random groups of people that I met for the first time, presenting in front of 1,000 people, all of it follows that same pattern. Once you realize that the worst thing that can happen isn't all that bad.
And at the end of the day, it's basically just pushing through the uncomfortable part of something that's new.
Right.
If getting on stage is new for you, you can't expect to jump up on stage for the first time or for the first time in the business sense. Because I've been on stage a dozen times from school, but that was never like the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to push through the short term pain, the feeling of being uncomfortable. And on the other side of that, what can you find?
Well, I'll tell a brief anecdote from one of my kind of mentors that I worked with in my first book. But he told me, he was a sales executive that had been a stand-up comedian. And he told me, when you go out on, and this is so true, when you go out on stage as a stand-up, what's the first thing people do? They take the microphone stand, they put it behind them. And that's because they figuratively and literally do not want anything between them and their audience. Very intimate experience. And if you've ever seen stand-up comedy here in LA, I'm sure you have at some point.
Yeah.
If somebody goes up there and they start right away and you feel like, wow, this person, he or she knows what they're doing, I'm in good hands, you will physically lay back in your seat because it's like this.
Yeah, take me on the show.
Take me on the ride, right? But if you see them sweating and nervous and tripping over their words,
that transfers into me.
Absolutely. And you're no longer listening to what they have to say. You're like, okay, come on, you can do it. You can do it. You'll get through this. You're worried. It's a human experience,
it is,
right?
Yeah. Bill Conley, I appreciate you for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you so much, Mark.
It's been a pleasure. You are full of information. I love it. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Thinking about going back to school? What's keeping you from pursuing your ambitions? A degree from Arizona State University can change the course of your life. Now, with ASU Online, you can access a leading national research institution that delivers the academic excellence you'd expect from one of the world's best universities on your schedule, 100% online. Earning your degree can seem like a daunting prospect, but ASU is committed to your success. In fact, ASU Online has the only dedicated research lab focused on measuring quality and applying research to course design and learning methods. Learn why ASU Online bachelor degrees are ranked in the top 1%. Text DISCOVER to 37913. Learn from the same world-renowned faculty and gain access to the same exceptional resources as on-campus students. If your ambitions begin with going back to school, let ASU help you succeed. To learn more about ASU Online, text DISCOVER to 37913. That's DISCOVER to 37913.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Rockstar.
Hi, everybody. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to CEO Roundtable. And just by chance, we have two CEOs, Gina Oschuler and John Hefner. Roxa, Drybar.
You
ever go to Drybar?
I have not.
Oh, we have to change that.
I know, but now I have your business card. So I'm going to go and I'm going to say, I know John.
two CEOs and you don't look like CEOs, although he always says he's more corporate. Are you more corporate than an entrepreneur?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm a little more entrepreneur.
Yeah. Tell me about that. I mean, do you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
Yeah, absolutely. I live by the grit of building and surviving in a business world. It's, yeah, absolutely.
What's the culture of your business?
Well, we have a very fast-paced environment. Advertising industry is always changing. And we are in a service business. So much actually probably like John, it's all about servicing your customers, understanding their needs, putting them first. So our culture is a lot about customer, client first, really digging in, listening, understanding people's pain points, needs, and then getting it done.
Right.
Well said.
In fact, it is like yours, right?
Very much so. I couldn't have said it better. It's got to involve a very customer-centric atmosphere, and really it starts inside the four walls of your company office.
And the culture of your company?
Very collaborative.
Depends on where it is, I would think, right?
True, although we have a culture in both our corporate headquarters as well as our stores that hopefully are very similar. And as Gina said, it's very much based on putting your customer first, being very collaborative, certainly having a modicum of accountability, but also ensuring that everybody walks to the same shared vision.
How do you get hired in your company?
Actually, we're big on networking.
What do you look for?
Yeah, and relationships. So a lot of it comes from referrals. We look for people who we look for smarts. We're actually a data-driven advertising agency. So we do screen for how intelligent are folks when it comes to coming in, asking the right questions, and strategically focused, I would say. We also look for folks, this is going to sound a little silly, but who we want to go have a drink with after work.
Right.
Who we want to sit and have coffee
with. Mad Men world, right?
We have to want to be around them. Clients have to want to be around them. Yeah. So we look for folks that we want to collaborate with. Use the word collaborate. That's used a lot around our space. Folks you want to have fun with, too, because we put in long hours. So you have to have a good time while you're together, too.
Yeah. How about you, John?
In from my point of view, it breaks down to one word, passion. If they don't have a passion for what they do, they don't belong on our team.
CEO Roundtable, when you scale your company up or down, what are the challenges in that?
We are in the service industry, so it's still about the people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have one mishire.
You're right.
And
yeah.
So we invest a lot more in our interviewing process. Mm-hmm. We have culture screeners who screen. We do lunch interviews to make sure the right people are making it through the door. So as we scale, we still invest a lot in that interview process to make sure the right people are coming in. And then we also, we pause once a month. We have an executive meeting where we say, is our business model still nimble enough for what clients want? Because as you scale, we can't, what worked for 50 people won't work for 250
right.
people.
And John, a little different for you because they have to have a certain talent.
Sure.
Blow drying hair.
That's true.
And, but. Or is it the same?
Well, like Gita's business, we're scaling very quickly. And Pat, probably the one thing that keeps me up at night is as we scale, can we offer the same experience to our customers that we did when we had two, three, or four stores? It's absolutely imperative that they receive the same level of experience in a store in New York as they do in Dallas, New York, or Los Angeles, or Atlanta. It doesn't really matter.
Gina, I think people pull the trigger real quick these days, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about the clients have to like them. Mm-hmm. How quick do you pull a trigger on a hire?
Oh, well.
I don't mean it sounds so
yeah,
violent.
No, but there's a little bit of that because advertising, like many, like, you know, we're trying to get the same talent Google and Facebook are. And so you have to, when you meet someone that your gut tells you they are right for your business, you have to right then and there mm-hmm. give them an offer. Otherwise, they're going to leave the building and they
go
could walk
else.
Next door and get a job. Yeah, right. So you have to have the right people meeting with new employees and be armed with the power to say yes and give them an offer right there. We do actually have that rule. If a rock star comes in the room, comes into the building, don't let them leave without an offer.
And how do you know? Does somebody?
Yeah. Well, part of it is, well, when it comes to hiring people, we have 360 reviews of folks after 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. Mm-hmm. So everyone gets to chime in and say, is it a fit for them? Is it a fit for us? And so that we can also make a quick decision if it's not a fit. But in general, I think, I mean, I'm a little bit of the silver lining and everything. So a mistake isn't just a mistake. So you have to learn from stuff too. I mean, you see that people who come from certain industries, come from certain other agencies, have an experience you really like. Mm-hmm. Okay, learn from that. Let's go recruit more from there when it comes to recruiting.
But. All right, John. John, tell me about all your mistakes right now.
Would you like me just to handle the ones this morning or over the last five
years?
Here. They're innumerable. But to Gina's point, the most important thing, Pat, is to take away from it learning and hopefully not to repeat those mistakes twice. But some of the more memorable ones clearly center on hiring and making bad hiring decisions because it's emotional on the front end, it's emotional on the back end. And you just have to absolutely make sure that you hire the best possible people. You'll never do it with absolute certainty, but and some people can be, you know, assisted along the way if they're falling short of the bar, but if they're not right, you got to make the change.
What's the most important thing in entrepreneurship?
I mean, it sounds silly, it sounds simple, but you ask about challenges or problems or, you know, difficulties, those you face them day in and day out. It's who's going to face them, get past them and move on and attack the next thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is the tenacity.
Two questions. One, do you have any friends?
I have a few.
I'm her friend. Gina, I'm your friend.
Have you met John?
And do you have fun? Is it fun?
Yes, absolutely. I live in a beach community. I love being outdoors. I love, you know, sitting on the sand and listening to music and watching my kids. And yeah. I like socializing. I like being the place people like to go and hang out. So
I think John's the same way. You love music?
Love music. It's my passion outside of Dry Bar. Wow. Despite this very conservative exterior, inside beats the heart of a rocker. And that's how I try to spend my time outside of the family.
Thank you
and business.
Both. Thank you
I
both
like
for
it.
Coming.
A
pleasure.
Thank
CEO
you.
CEO Roundtable. Thanks for watching. I'm Pat O'Brien.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the
rules can stop the pain and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Biz Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.